Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hello.
Thank you for going to the Les Schwab Twires.
Twires?
I don't know. Hello. We appreciate you going to the Les Schwab.
Why can't you say tires?
Vive Clicquot. It's the same
thing.
Just
say tires.
Where did we pick up from? Hi, everyone. You're listening to the Sinner and the Saint podcast. I'm Luke Anderson.
I'm Will Darkins, and this is sponsored by Les Schwab Tires. Is that right?
I think so.
Okay.
Yep. Enjoy.
Doing the right thing since 1952.
Sociopath Will Darkins on 1080 The Fan.
Hey, happy Saturday morning, Portland, Oregon. Who's excited for some friggin' football? Right now, 6 hours, 56 minutes, 46 seconds until the kickoff between Florida and the U. This might not be the biggest rivalry for both of these teams, but this is a big rivalry. I'm glad that the college football season is starting with a game that can pique some national interest. This is the first time we've had a zero-week game this big, right?
No.
What?
No.
What's a bigger zero-week game?
I can't think of it, but this can't be the biggest one. I think on the West Coast, not a lot of people are as jazzed about this game as they are next week.
Well, no, you wouldn't expect them to be, but this week has two football games.
Yeah.
To have one of them be a game with two national brands in the same state, I think is good.
I will say this. I feel like this rivalry has kind of waned throughout the years. Like I don't remember when it was great. I really don't remember when it was great.
I don't know that it was ever to the level of Florida State or Miami Florida State, but you have two national brands. If I asked you to name former Hurricanes, former Gators, you could rattle off a pretty long list.
Versus Tim Tebow.
Boom. There you go.
Boom. Yeah. Aaron Hernandez.
Boom.
Riley Cooper.
Nice. See? Look at you doing it right there.
Yeah. Michael Irving.
Yeah. Now name the best former Hawaii Rainbow Warriors.
Cole Brennan.
And how was his NFL career?
Not bad, actually. It was okay.
He had a cup of coffee in the league.
Yeah, he did. He did all right. Cole Brennan had an incredible preseason at some point.
He had a nice showing in one of the preseason games. The Colt Brennan year was the year that I lived in Hawaii, and that was awesome.
Yeah. Oh, really? Well, you were going to say insufferable.
No. Oh, no. It was fantastic. Because anytime you get a local team that does well, and I know that you will dispute this because we'll talk about the Ducks later on, but anytime you can get like just the energy of a local team doing well, I think it's awesome. And when Hawaii was, you know, it was a team that nobody thought could go and win a national championship, and they got a chance to go and play against Georgia that year, and it was proof right there that, you know, they didn't belong on the national stage. But
yeah,
going into that game, dude, there was as much hype as there was for anything else. And the thing about Hawaii is I lived in the whitest part of Hawaii, which is Lahaina, Maui, and everybody there was captivated by football, and nobody was really a football fan. You know, you had a bunch of burnouts that moved out to Hawaii to surf. And all of a sudden, it starts piquing everybody's interest. And they're like, what's going on with this football team? And then Colt Brennan jerseys start showing up across the island. And nobody's going to games because we're not even on the same island. But
yeah, oh, sweet. Awesome. He's just like us. He's white. Exactly. Isn't that funny?
Well, Timmy Chang, he's just like us. He had to leave his other school because of drug problems.
No, he left his other school because he got caught doing some bad diddling.
Was it diddling? I thought it was drugs.
No, he got caught in a bad situation with a woman student, and he got his butt kicked out of Colorado.
Yeah.
And then he had to go to Rancho Cucamonga and friggin' play his way into Hawaii.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought it was drugs, but if it was women.
I think it was also drugs, though.
Okay.
I think the drugs led to the bad decision with the woman.
Yeah, that's so, anyway.
Which is generally the case.
Again, a bunch of burnouts living in Hawaii are like, we can get behind this guy.
Look, man, he's got everything we love. He's white. He made mistakes. He's good.
He fled to Hawaii to get away from it.
He bleach blacked the islands into the side of his head. Dude, you remember he did that? Like his final year, his senior season, like ESPN Magazine got a hold of him because it was like, okay, serious Heisman contention. Let's throw him in there. And he friggin' bleach blacked the islands into his already bleach blonde hair on the side.
Yeah. Super sweet.
Like his Polynesian teammates had to be like, thank God you're good. Because if you weren't good, you are the first dude we are just beating up.
Well, you had plenty of Polynesian teammates at Oregon State, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so you know that those guys are happy to beat people up.
Dude, I would get my ass kicked if I would have done that.
Yes, dude, you would have.
The Polynesian guys on my team would have been like, what is that about? And I'd be like, oh, I've never been to Hawaii, but it's just my appreciation. I'm trying to connect with you.
You are the only person I know that went to Hawaii, and you went. That's where you proposed to your now fiance.
That's right.
You came back whiter than when you left.
Yeah.
On purpose.
Yeah, that's a badge of honor. I gotta tell you, man.
Sure.
Seriously. Like, they took a picture of me at the airport. They gave me a lay, and then, like, all these people were like, wait, stop. How long were you here? I was like, 10 days. Like, how did you do that?
Yeah. I think you might be the first guy ever. And you actually, got whiter because of all the sunscreen that you put into your skin. It actually whitened up where it was iridescent.
Yes.
Very good for you.
The brand, who was it with the little girl getting the swimsuit bit by the dog?
That is Coppertone.
Coppertone, which, by the way, that is totally not PC for this time.
Well, they've covered up her cheeks.
Have they?
Yeah. Oh, well, you've not good. Seen that? Well,
they got
maybe
my letters.
Maybe they have it on the Coppertone bottle, but I know they have at Disney California Adventure. They have that image, but there's no butt cheeks on it.
That's good. They got my letters then.
Really?
I've been writing letters.
Have you? Have you ever written a letter of complaint?
Like an angry letter to a company?
Yeah, but actual letter, not like comment section.
I've thought about doing it before. I've thought about doing it at restaurants.
Oh, yeah?
About waiters.
Listen, Jim doesn't deserve to be a waiter at this Applebee's any longer based on the service he just gave us.
Yeah, just go insane on a letter about it. And I respect those people that actually handwrite letters.
Oh, do you?
Yeah. To complain about companies, because you could write an email and get it lost. But like, I feel like if I got a letter in the mail as some corporate guy, I'm probably going to open that thing.
Yeah. Yeah. We used to get letters. I worked in hotels and was a front desk manager. We got letters, mostly emails, but every once in a while you'd get a letter of complaint and you're like, oh, they wrote it in cursive. I don't understand what they're saying.
You don't know cursive?
Listen, some people's cursive can be difficult to read. But those got junked. Emails got responded to. It's like, oh, there's no record. There's no record of this letter ever being published because nobody takes a carbon copy of it. It's like, did you get the letter I sent? Nope. Yeah. Email, at least there's like, oh, it's in my sent box. So if you're going to complain to a company, don't write a handwritten letter.
Well, then you need to clear your junk folder.
What?
Football! Yeah! Oh, it's football!
It is football!
Oh, yeah!
We're still 6 hours away. There's only two games today. What is that sound for?
Totally the hit sound.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah.
Is that the slobber knocker?
That's the tackler.
Is that how you tackled when you were a linebacker?
Go? When I was at Oregon State, I would keep my head up, my shoulders back. And then I would release with my hamstrings and hug my opponent. And then I'd hit him.
When I played high school football,
I was not
the player you were. No. It's a question for you. You were a much better football player than I was. The two biggest bell rings that I ever got, where I kind of knocked myself out a little bit, where I wasn't quite sure where I was after the hit.
Did you tell anyone?
Oh, God, no.
See, that's how it should be played today. I don't care if your bell got rung. Get back in there. I'm tired of it.
The two biggest hits, I was the one that delivered the hit. I was the one still on my feet after the hits.
Oh, nice.
Once playing free safety, sweep came up, ran right through the guy. And then I remember just, I was on the sideline. Coach came up to me, like hit me on the back of the shoulder. I fell over. I had no idea where I was. The other one, I was playing offense, caught a swing pass. Linebacker comes up, caught him just out of the corner of my eye, lowered my shoulder, came up underneath his chin strap, but took three more steps, and then the next guy came and breathed on me, and I fell over. Did you have any of those experiences when you played? Because obviously you were a much better football player, and you played at a higher level than I did, so I'm not going to pretend I was great. But did you have the one where you laid the hit and just went, uh-oh?
Oh, I'm sure I did.
You don't even remember.
I don't remember it. I don't remember anything. Actually, the one I can remember was at Washington State, and this was one of my prouder moments because this was when Washington State was bad, like really, really bad. And this was 09, and all we had to do was really win the game, and then it would set up a civil war between...
Or the Rose Bowl.
Go to the Rose Bowl. And so we had already kind of put the game away. It was some like 40-something to 15. And that week, they had planned to get guys in on secondary stuff, like special teams, and I wasn't necessarily great at any special teams except for like punt return or kickoff return because I could block pretty well.
Yeah. Well, but you were a fullback.
Yeah. Not great at kickoff, not really great at punt. And so they were like, hey, second team is kickoff. You're going to be on it. And I was like, okay, fine. That's fine. And so I go in at the end of the game on kickoff and I'm still pretty jazzed.
Yeah.
And so I probably made the best special teams play of my life because I ran in, took a quick angle, and then just blew this dude up. And I know my bell got rung and I got up and I kind of like was a little bit woozy and I looked down at the guy and he just was like not looking well. I put my head into his rib cage.
Oh.
And that was when like that was okay. That would have been considered spearing today.
Yeah.
But yeah, you know, when I look back at that now, see, I have such an attitude now with football when I think back about injuries of other people or myself, that's like, oh, that's awful.
Yeah.
Cause I remember looking down at him and that guy did not look well. he looked like a rib was broken.
Yeah.
I never found out, but
yeah,
I assume his rib broke.
I took a kid out of a game against, Hudson's Bay. I was playing corner and he goes up for the ball and I hit him low and did the end over end on him. And he never came back in the game. He's a lot bigger than I was, so I was actually kind of proud of it at the time. But yeah, I remember that same feeling, only at a, like I said, a lesser level.
It's about caring.
Yeah, but when you're playing football, it's also about adrenaline. You're going out there, you're trying to win. Yeah.
Hold on.
We have Miami, Florida in Orlando, the Camping World kickoff game. Next week, we've got Oregon, Auburn. Football season is damn near officially underway, and I'm pumped about it. We will talk college football, obviously. I've got an NFL question that I'm not sure anybody else could answer, and we know that you're a sneaky competitive guy. I'm going to see if you can answer this question. You might be the only one that can give me the answer I'm looking for, so we'll try that later on in the show. It. We also have to revisit Dwight Howard because he's in the news again this week.
Who's he dating?
We'll talk about it.
Wait, is he dating a guy?
Well, we'll get into
it. Dude, if you're not going to deliver on the tease, then you might as well not do it.
Well, listen, let's just say he's in a new relationship.
With a guy?
Bunch of guys.
Okay.
All right. Intrigued? We'll get to that later on, but we do start with college football. We do it next, right here. Sinner and Saint, 1080 The Fan.
Will I be with you?
We're 7 days, 7 hours, 12 minutes, and 12 seconds away from Oregon-Auburn. I know that's a game everybody's excited about locally, but we do have football today. Manny Diaz making his debut as the head coach of the U, Miami Hurricanes, taking on a number 8 ranked Florida team. This should be at least an interesting game from the standpoint of can Florida go out and kind of establish themselves as a team to do some damage in the East? Georgia has kind of won the SECs, I don't know how many years. But it feels like they've been kind of the dominant team on that side of the SEC, and Florida's trying to get back to prominence. We'll see if they can kind of make a statement when they come out. Or are you going to see Jaren Williams come out as a true freshman quarterback, Manny Diaz as a first-time head coach go out and make a statement of their own? So at least some intrigue in that game. Also, if you're an Oregon State fan, Hawaii playing later, you get them week two, so chance to see one of your opponents. Get a look at Arizona year two, Khalil Tate back, and, of course, year two for Kevin Sumlin. Some fun storylines in the games. I don't think we need to break down any of these games for you. You guys have already done that.
Are you sure?
I wrote
it up.
Oh, do you want to do it?
I'm lying.
I know. Question for you, though. You played college football. Did you ever play a zero-week game?
No.
So for all of these teams, I'm not sure about Hawaii, but I know for Miami, Florida, and Arizona, they all end up waiting 2 weeks before they play their next game. So they'll play this game, and then they have a two-week gap before they come back. Cam and I talked about this because I filled in for Dusty on Thursday, but I kind of wanted to get your experience with it. I wonder if that is a good thing or a bad thing from a prep, because you only get a limited time to get ready for these games. Fall camp opened in first week of August, so you've only had 3 weeks to kind of finish your install for your offense, prep for the game, but you get the advantage of having 2 weeks off after this game. So you kind of get, let's go out, see what we're made of, you know, play against a tough opponent, and now you can kind of reset some things, and you get 2 weeks evaluation period. If you were playing, would this be something that you would kind of look at as an advantage or disadvantage to start your college football season?
I always viewed it as a disadvantage, and I really didn't even like bye weeks, to tell you the truth.
Okay.
Bye weeks are fine, but it's very difficult to keep focus on what you're going to have next, because even if it's a really bad team, then you're super not focused, and what was a good example of that? Actually, the year after the Washington State story, I told you in the last segment, we played Washington State again at home and came off of a bye week and lost to them again when they were really crappy. And it was because we were just completely unfocused. During a bye week, what they're trying to do for the most part is get you healthy. Like, okay, the first week that you have off of that first game is just kind of about, hey, let's get you healthy. Let's just kind of keep the blood moving and everything, and we'll do a little bit of review of film and just kind of go over what we go over. Second week, we treat it the same. Here's some install. Let's practice. Let's watch film. But for the most part, every experience I've ever had with time off during the season, it was never great until you get to the end of the season. That's when you really wish you did have a little bit of time off, because you're so hurt. You're so injured at that point that you just need like one more day to get ready for the game. That's why bowl games are kind of awesome, because you get that sweet 3 week break, 2 week break. And then you play in a game and you know, you're fresher.
Yeah. And are you doing nothing for a couple weeks or a week when you get 3 weeks off?
Not necessarily nothing, just very light work.
Sure. Sure.
Very light work. Unless you go to the Vegas Bowl, then you're screwed.
But aren't both teams screwed, so it's just the Hangover Bowl?
Nope. Not for us. Dude, we played BYU.
Oh, well,
they were in Old Town. It was so ridiculous. It was unfair, honestly.
BYU, the one team that's not going to go in Taiwan. There's probably two kids that did, but yeah, the majority of the team.
Dude, BYU has won that bowl so many effing times in a row, and the reason is because the Mountain West, they have a play-in bowl, right? Like, the Pac-12 has the play-in bowl, which is if you win the Pac-12, you go to the Rose Bowl. Mm-hmm. The Mountain West is basically, look, if you win the Mountain West and you have a good enough record where you've only lost one game, you are considered an at-large.
Yep.
If you're second, or if you're first and you've lost two or three games, you go to the Las Vegas Bowl. And guess what?
BYU
has been second in the Mountain West for many years. And they would go every single year. And they put us up in the Venetian. I'm just saying it was unfair because they tempted us.
Sure, yeah, of course. Well, it's Vegas. Vegas is built on temptation. The entire city is built on temptation. Anything that you want. What do you like? Drugs, alcohol, women, gambling.
Blue Man Group.
Fast Cars. And Blue Man Group. Cirque du Soleil. Whatever you want is there in plenty. And yeah, you can go out and cause your fair share of trouble.
I'll tell you what, I should have written a letter to the Vegas Bowl.
Ooh, absolutely you should. Oh, I do need to apologize to Sam the mailman, because he said letters always get through. Yes, I know handwritten letters get through. I'm not saying that we didn't receive them. What I'm saying is we pretended we didn't receive them. Because our job as front desk managers at the hotel was to pass it on to the general manager or whoever. But yeah, like I said, we would pretend that those letters never made it through. And you have no proof that you sent it. So
I thought your job was to direct people to drug dealers.
No, not so much. The drug dealers usually hung out in the bar. Same with the hookers.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Why would you do a drug deal at the front desk of a hotel?
Well, no. What I'm saying is more like, why would you hang out in the bar of a hotel if you're selling drugs in Vegas?
Oh, no. This was in Los Angeles.
Oh.
Yeah, well, yeah. No, drug dealers hang out in the casino, though. That's where you bump into them. They're not hard to find.
That's different.
Yeah. It's very different.
Do you think Khalil Tate has any chance of stealing thunder from Justin Herbert, even if he plays really, really well, if he plays better than Justin Herbert? Because I feel like Justin Herbert has this clout over him, this type of like the impenetrable hype that's been built up around him for this season, because everybody was excited about him going out, getting drafted last year, and then he decided to come back for his senior season. Well known that the Giants were kind of targeting him last year, and then they went for their, consolation prize, Daniel Jones.
Who's playing well.
Yeah, but, like, do you think if Khalil Tate really just balls out hard this season and maybe plays a little bit better than Justin Herbert that people will even notice?
They have a head-to-head. So, I mean, November, right? Early November, they play head-to-head. So, I believe it's at Oregon. So, if they go toe-to-toe and Khalil Tate plays better, they both come in with, you know, with momentum into it. Sure, I could see that a little bit. I think nationally the conversation's about Tua and Trevor. I mean, I don't know that. I mean, Justin Herbert is a big story, but I think you and I have talked about this. Justin Herbert needs to have a game. He's had a couple moments. He's had flashes. He earned the job as a true freshman. Great, but what's his signature game?
Washington. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you beat Washington, but really...
He wasn't the catalyst for that.
Verdell was kind of the hero, I guess.
Yeah, well, I mean...
Or the team. Yeah, see, that's the thing, though. With this iteration of the Ducks this past year, or I guess if you want to throw 2 years into it, you know, they haven't. You're right. They haven't had these moments. And I think that there is such an immense amount of pressure building around this game next weekend against Auburn in Cowboys Stadium. It's this pressure cooker where it's saying, hey, you are on the national stage. You have arguably the most prominent national player who is going to get drafted no matter what. Can you win? Can you do something?
Yeah, well, I think a lot of people look at, well, I mean, we just talked about this with Florida. Florida's ranked number 8 in the country. Who has Florida in the college football playoff?
Me.
Do you?
Oh, yeah. No. I had him in March.
I don't think there's a lot of teams that are a lot of pundits out there that are picking Florida to win the SEC. There's people that have picked them to win the East, but I don't think anybody has them win the SEC. Oregon's interesting because I don't think a lot of people have them in the playoff, even if they win the Pac-12, because the Pac-12 has been so disrespected. So it's interesting because at number 11, I mean, they feel like they're outside of the conversation. And there's two weird things. And I want to talk about the expectations and the Oregon Ducks, and we'll do this to start hour two. But with all the conversation around recruiting, it's interesting because you have a very disjointed Ducks team or identity. Mario Cristobal has come in and been able to establish the offensive line with players that were already there and in the system. He was able to, you know, go out and get a top 5 recruiting class and make all this hay. And now those players are going to be in position where they can make an impact on this team. But I think the biggest story is, or certainly was in the spring, is getting Justin Herbert back for his senior year. And I know we talk about Justin Herbert and this team, but you have Troy Dye back in the center of the defense. You've got Justin Herbert back in the center of the offense. Those guys need to develop into great college football players where they can go out and win you a game. The Stanford overtime last year was the one that stands out in my head where it's like, dude, that could have been your moment, but he kind of shrunk a little bit on the big stage.
I think you're burying the lead in the spring, and that was Kayvon Thibodeau.
Well, that's what I'm, but that's a recruiting class. That's having a top recruit, a top recruiting class.
The top recruit.
By ESPN, not the top recruit by Rivals or 24/7 Sports, but yeah.
Or my list.
That's right, or the Will Darken Superpower Ranking Recruiting Madness list.
On my really basic HTML site.
Yeah, a lot of people may listen to Andrew Nemec's recruiting show, but I don't know if people listen to your podcast.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's right.
It's pretty top-notch.
My rankings podcast.
It's a seven-minute podcast released every 4 weeks.
Yeah, it's not so much about the conversation. It's literally I get a rankings, and I just list them, and then I tease ahead for the next week.
Well, the weird thing that I can't figure out is you have access to studios here at the station,
yeah,
access to microphones, recording equipment. You record it on your iPhone in a car while you're driving.
Yeah, that's a production decision.
I know. I don't understand it.
Well, because you're not my audience.
but you have this team that has returning veterans. You have a team that has incoming freshmen that are supposed to make the impact. The biggest decision for, or the biggest deciding factor on whether or not this Ducks team's win is all the guys in the middle, your returning secondary, your returning receiving core that haven't been great. Is can those players develop?
They're hurt. I mean, I think that's your deciding factor at this point. You have so many dudes who now you are actually projecting ahead into the season as to when they're going to play.
Yeah.
And now you have to, I mean, you're going to rely on Red as your friggin' primary receiver heading into Auburn. I think Duck fans need to kind of take stock into what's going on here and understand that Justin Herbert's going to make some improvements during the offseason like he did. But at the same time, unless that dude pulls like a 180 and he is now like Superman, I think you need to temper those expectations.
That's what I'm saying. Player development. How much better can those guys get? Jalen Red played receiver for the first time last year. He was a converted running back.
And he was good.
Yeah. So, but how much better does he get? That's something that we don't look at that often. You have returning studs. You've got incoming studs. What happens with all those guys in the row? What happens with depth? What happens if you get another injury, Penei Sewell, on the offensive line? That was not the same offensive line when he's out. So if you have injuries, you already have them at the wide receiver position. Can other guys step up? That's the difference between winning a national championship, making it to the college football playoffs, or winning 10 games and just going to the Rose Bowl.
What do you think Mario Cristobal wears week one?
I hope he goes the old Mike Nolan suit and tie.
I don't think he'll do that.
I know, but I
hope he wears dry fit, no collar.
Yeah, I can see that.
Like, I just want him to wear workout gear on the sidelines.
Sure.
Because that's who he is anyway. He just screams, he puffs his chest out, and he goes bro on everyone.
All right.
Like, I want his whole coaching staff to look like they just got done with a workout.
I have a question about the NFL that I don't think anybody can give me the right answer to except for you. I'm going to put you on the spot. See if you can give me a satisfactory answer on a question that no one seems to have the answer for. We will do that right after this SportsCenter update.
They're doing their personality pieces on ESPN about Miami.
Oh, that's wonderful.
They're talking to all the players and getting their opinion on how much they all love Danny Diaz.
Oh, yeah? What does Tate Martell say?
I don't know. It's on mute in here. I've always wanted these things to go rogue, where they're like asking about the coach, and then just one dude goes, "Well, I hate that guy."
Yeah, that's why I said Tate Martell. He transferred from Ohio State to be the starting quarterback, lost out in the job, and now he's switching to wide receiver. Yeah,
yeah,
he's the worst.
Guy's a jerk.
I think I ruined my rep.
Who's that? Diaz? Screw him. His wife's hot, but screw him.
who's the coach you hated the most?
Whole career?
Yeah.
Probably, I would say Dave Unger.
Yeah.
Dave Unger was a special teams coach before we got the one that we ended up with. I always forget his name. But Dave Unger, I remember because he came in and they nicknamed Dave the Penguin because he looked like the Penguin from Batman Begins or whatever that was.
Danny DeVito version.
Yes.
Yeah.
And he was a very angry guy, and he would curse and swear and, like, really just kind of be an SOB. Yeah, but it was more, like, directed and, like, it was kind of vicious. Like, If anybody's an Oregon State football fan, you know Mike Kavanaugh, who was the offensive line coach for a really long time. He swore a lot, but at the same time, every time he would get in your face, there was always kind of like a lesson behind it.
Ah, gotcha.
He was like actively coaching you, but he was yelling at you.
He just liked his profanity.
Yeah, he would get really mad and he'd swear, but then he'd show you what you did wrong.
Here's why I'm yelling and swearing at you, young man. Because I want you to be better.
Unger just would like scream at you, and then he'd be like, get out. And then you wouldn't learn anything.
That's super helpful.
Yeah, it was kind of bad. Yeah. And he came from Alabama, where I think like that flew around there.
Well, that was Alabama's heyday, if you'll recall.
Yes.
No.
Well, it was the beginning. No. And I think that it was the SEC, where it's like there are so many good players that it's like, get out of here, dude. There's some guy that's better than you right behind you. Like, that's how it is.
There's fairness in that.
Pac-12, it's like, okay, I know you're good and you're the best we have, so I'm going to try to teach you here.
Oh, that's a fun way to look at it. I'm just realizing, so if you listen to this station on a regular basis, I'm sure you've heard Suk complain about his high school football coach his senior year. I just realized he kind of looked like the Penguin. Eric Bernstein, he looked a little bit like the Penguin. But yeah, Suk absolutely hated him. I had to play for him for 3 years, and we threw the ball like 9 times, and I played wide receiver. So it's pretty easy to pick my least favorite, but there you go.
I thought it was interesting when we had Breland in. Jacob Breland came in.
Did he go AWOL and just be like, Chris Ball's the worst?
Well, it wasn't necessarily that, but when he was on primetime, I want to say like a month ago, he was talking about Chris Ball, and it wasn't like, you know, oh, no, I hate him. It was more just like, well, when he first came in, it was kind of a challenge.
Sure.
And, you know, I would guess that when a first-time coach comes in, there is always kind of a little bit of a challenge. And I'm going to go Colin Cow here on you and say, imagine your job. You get a new boss. It's difficult. It's difficult to adjust to the new boss. Well, Braylon was just adjusting to Mario Cristobal. That's just like your boss. The one at your work. Listener.
Well, you have Breland's a senior this year, so that means he's played for 3 head coaches, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so he was a Helfrich guy, comes in, gets Taggart for 1 year, and then gets Mario Cristobal. And Mario Cristobal got the job in large part due to the student athletes wanted him to be there. I mean, they went out and made a case for him. They wrote a handwritten letter, didn't they?
They might have.
Yeah. All right. We'll get back into Ducks. I want to talk Ducks at the top of the hour. Oh. I know you're geared up about it.
Oh, man.
But I have
I'm all about quack.
I know you are.
I'm addicted to quack, Luke.
But I have an NFL question that I want to see if you can answer.
Okay.
Tell me something good about preseason football.
You get to snuff out rookies you thought sucked.
Daniel Jones.
No, because actually Daniel Jones has been okay.
Yeah, but you thought he was going to be terrible. You're saying you want to see guys flame out?
No, it's the guys who you think were going to be terrible, and they are terrible, and you go, I knew it. I've never seen, and maybe the text line can help me on this, and if I'm wrong, please let me know. 55305, better you today, text line. I have never seen a quarterback suck in the preseason, a rookie quarterback, suck in the preseason, and then just do a 180 and be like amazing. Again, I know they all have their struggles and kind of like go up and down. You know, Kyler Murray's kind of that way. If you've watched any of his preseason games, he was very up and down. And so you don't know what to expect going into the season. But like the dude for Denver, right? Oh, crap. What's his name?
What is his name? Drew.
Yes. Drew Lock. Drew Lock is hurt and is expected to be possibly questionable for week 1. That guy sucked in the preseason. I'm pretty sure he's going to suck in the regular season.
Well, but you also know that because he was drafted by John Elway.
Yeah, that gives you an indication, too.
Tim Tebow, Paxton Lynch.
I'm just saying, I think that a lot of people should watch the preseason for that very reason, to look at rookie quarterbacks. Yeah. Because honestly, dude, that is going to be the telltale sign. If they're kind of going up and down and they have moments, good, bad, then you can go, okay, let's see what happens. If they suck in the preseason, dude, put the money down on that team losing every time.
See, I appreciate
never
that.
Seen it.
I'm just appalled by the fact that everybody's like, we're going to bash on the NFL preseason. It's the only thing that anybody does. There is some value in it for younger players to get out there. Now, do they require a dress rehearsal? I don't know. But at the same time, it's like, dude, you're not forced to watch it. So don't watch it. Like, if you watch it and get upset, that's on you, dude.
Well, I think more people are pissed about the whole idea of, like, people getting hurt.
Well, I understand that, but Cam Newton didn't get hurt because he was playing in a preseason game. He would have gotten hurt in a regular season game. Week one would have been just as bad. It's, you know what I mean? Like, that's what I really don't understand. It's like, if somebody goes out and you lose a guy for the season in week one because they haven't gone out and done full speed reps, wouldn't that be just as bad? We had him for a quarter. At least it meant something. It's like, dude, if you're a football player and you're worried about getting hurt, it's kind of the idea of pulling your guys at the end of a game to save them from getting hurt at the end of the season. That I don't get. Like, if you're worried about getting hurt playing football, don't play football.
But I think it's more the idea that, like, what you're putting them in to do literally means nothing.
Then don't put them in. And that's, but see, this is my point. It's like, you, as
but
a coaching
what you're
staff,
saying is, what's the difference between doing that and him getting hurt in the first quarter of week one? I'm saying that at least you have him in for a game that means something. The preseason, it just doesn't mean anything.
LaDainian Tomlinson never played a preseason snap. Marshawn Lynch never played a preseason snap. The entire starting offense defense for the Los Angeles Rams will not play a snap. Teddy Bridgewater blew out his knee in a non-contact plant of his foot and lost for what, two seasons of the NFL? I mean, it just happens.
More like his career.
Well, I mean, he's playing now again, but I know.
He's about as active as Colt Brennan.
but that's that. There, injuries happen, and if you say that, you know, you don't want your guy to get hurt in preseason, cool. Cam Newton, don't put him in. But now that he's got, you know, a sprain in his foot, he may not play. Andrew Luck may not play week one. He doesn't play a preseason snap. It's because he's, you know, deteriorating right in front of us. But yeah, I don't get it. If you don't want your guy to hurt, don't put him in there. It's not mandatory that you play preseason. But my bigger complaint is fans going, oh man, that stuff's unwatchable. Cool, don't watch it.
Like the AAF.
Exactly. Yeah, this league's terrible. Okay. Then don't turn it on. You don't like Major League Baseball? There's too many games of baseball. Okay, don't watch them.
Like, well, I think for me, my gripe with baseball, and now we're kind of getting off here, but...
Well, but this is what I wanted to talk about, so you're fine.
Well, I'm just saying, my gripe with baseball is that, like, I have a bunch of people at this station, a bunch of fan guys who, like, are trying to convince me that baseball is entertaining.
Yeah.
And I'm like, it's just not. No matter how much you want to try to tell me this sport is entertaining, it's not at all.
Yes,
there's nothing entertaining about it.
But you've also said as soon as Portland gets a team, you'll be interested. And you can have that same conversation in a lot of NBA, non-NBA cities where you have a fan base that doesn't care one iota about basketball because they don't have a team. It's when you have those long seasons, I'll be interested to see if Portland ever gets a hockey team. Because what happened in Las Vegas, my brother-in-law, I have friends and family down there in Las Vegas, none of them knew a thing about hockey. And I realized that the Golden Knights had one of the more magical inaugural seasons that anybody's ever had in sports. But there's just something about having a team in your backyard where you have you almost can't avoid the conversations about it. And it means something to you because it's your city, even though all the guys are from the Dominican Republic.
Somebody on the Better You Today text line 55305. Preseason football is not for the fans. It's player evaluation and team structure.
Yeah. So don't like it, don't watch it.
I'm just saying, if you do want to watch it for one reason.
You nailed it.
Do it to snuff out the rookie quarterbacks.
Well, but I also think that.
I've never seen it. I've never seen a rookie quarterback just bomb and then get in the regular season and go, oh, I was doing this all wrong.
I figured it. But the other thing that you do see is you'll see guys perform well and then fade. Daniel Jones is having a pretty good campaign. That does not guarantee success in the regular season.
No, it doesn't, but it's not like so here is the flip side of it, right? I've also never seen somebody completely just excel the S out of preseason
and then
totally bomb the regular season. Again, It's more about like Daniel Jones. That's why I am like a little bit questioning of Daniel Jones, is because he's in there. You can see him making all the typical mistakes, but you also see the talent that he does have and the decision-making he does have at his best. And you go, oh, yeah, huh, I think he can maybe fit in.
Yeah. But you also go, man, I wonder if the Giants are going to screw this up.
Well, yeah. like Dwayne Haskins, dude, oh, that guy's going to suck so hard.
Well, that's because he's playing for Jay Gruden in Washington. Oh,
dude, he would have sucked anywhere.
Well, sure.
He looks lost.
Yeah, but he has that arm talent. You see some of those throws.
Does he?
Yeah.
I didn't even get that at Ohio State. Like, everybody was like, oh, yeah, he's got a big arm. Dude, that guy looked like he was thinking about throwing every time he threw. Did you see this come out this way?
Did you see his first touchdown pass?
No.
He just chucked it up. And it was like, oh, my God, it's amazing. It's like, dude, that looked like you and I talked about this, I think, last week. When you play quarterback and you're like, I don't know what's going on, dude. I'm just going to huck it down the field and hope my guy catches it. That's what it looked like. Everybody went, look at the arm talent.
Yeah.
And then on top of it, you're in Washington.
I think the only reason maybe people are reacting that way is just the whole, like, Mahomes thing. Because interestingly enough, Mahomes in his preseason, he kind of looked lost. There were sparks. You could see the pure arm talent, right? Like what you're talking about, Haskins bombing stuff. Like, that kind of thing would happen with Mahomes in the preseason. And then once he got to the season, he was a guy who just kind of like snapped, turned it on, and then all of a sudden he knew where everybody was.
Better You Today text line does have a good point. When you have to pay money as a season ticket holder for preseason, I have the right to complain. That is true. I suggest you write a handwritten letter.
But that's the same thing too. It's like you buy something from a restaurant, like you get food and it sucks. It's like now I have the right to just bitch about it for an hour.
Yeah, you don't have to buy the tickets. Good versus evil next, Sinner and Saint on 1080 The Fitz.
Listen to Metroscope, our locally produced public affairs program, this Sunday night at 10 as we interview newsmakers and experts on topics of current interest. Metroscope is sponsored by Xfinity, making it easy to access all your favorite entertainment at home and on the go. Xfinity, the future of awesome.
Have you been too busy to keep up on sports this week?
What has happened to the... What has happened? What has happened to the national interest?
No time to form your own opinions?
I stand before you here today in the midst of gnarly times.
Well, no worries, brah. Let the Sinner and the Saint shred the gnar while you just sit back and ride the wave. It's time for Good versus Evil, brought to you by the Titan of Hawaiian Restaurants, 808 on 1080 The Fan.
First, I'll probably say that this is the one and only time I'll address this issue because, you know, the interview was done back in April, like right after the draft, and just things taken out of context, and that's the problem with today's day and age. You know, you don't read the whole thing, you don't put two and two together.
That was your old high school friend who still hangs out in his hometown working at Oil Can Henry's, possibly a risk to give you VD, Baker Mayfield. The Browns quarterback was responding to critical comments he made about Eli Manning's laboratory accident clone Daniel Jones this past week. During an interview with GQ, Baker was quoted as saying, "I cannot believe the Giants took Daniel Jones. Blows my mind," quote unquote. Apparently, the two whippersnappers have cleared this beef up over text message based on his play so far this preseason. Do you think Jones has proven Baker's skepticism wrong?
Well, yeah, Baker's backpedaling included a, "I can't believe that I was taken number one overall" as well. Everybody was surprised by Daniel Jones going at number six? Everybody. The people on the panel, the Mel Kipers, the Todd McShays of the world, the Will Darkins mock draft was all thrown asunder by Daniel Jones being
taken.
That's
not true. Look, that's not true. Check my HTML website. I had him at number one.
So, I mean, the fact that Baker was surprised by it, I don't really care what happens between quarterbacks talking trash. I actually kind of enjoyed it. I wish we would get more of this. And it's like, what was the your favorite Aaron Rodgers quote after they beat the Seahawks coming back the next season, where he goes, guess God wasn't paying attention to this game, or God didn't care who won this game. I love quarterback trash talk, and I can't wait to see the Giants come out with Daniel Jones and play against Baker Mayfield and then have him go, hey, D-line, I need you to hit that guy right in the mouth.
They're not playing each other this
year. I know, not this year. And Daniel Jones probably won't start this year either.
Training camp for the Chargers, they lost Derwin James for half the season. He's IR-bound. Russell Okung, their star left tackle, expected to start the season. Not on the field with an illness. This is another tough one for the Chargers.
That was the erectile dysfunction attorney you called after seeing his commercial during a rerun of The Office, Ian Rappaport. He's talking about the NFL team only dumb idiots think are good, the Los Angeles Chargers. The Bolts are still in a holdout battle with star running back Melvin Gordon. Sources said this week that it's going to most likely last into the regular season. Gordon is set to make $5.6 million in 2019. Should the Chargers continue to hold out into the season because it doesn't matter, they're going to lose in the playoffs anyway?
Let me ask you this question to counter your question. First of all, yes, they will make it to the playoffs. No, they will not go to the Super Bowl. But if Ezekiel Elliott is signed as the highest paid running back in the league and Marvin Gordon never plays again for the Chargers, who do you think goes to the Super Bowl first, Chargers or Cowboys?
Probably the Cowboys.
I was going to say neither.
Oh,
I mean, I don't think it matters what you do at that position as much as having a quarterback that can take you past Tom Brady or past the high-powered offenses that we're seeing in today's NFL. I don't think Dak Prescott's the guy to take you there. I don't think Philip Rivers is the guy to take you there. The running back position, sorry, is secondary. Get you some regular season wins, but it doesn't matter in the playoffs.
Then maybe they're ushering in, you know, a new wave of young players that are big-time outside lane, down-the-field threats. And then you still have Tyler Lockett. Obviously, when you start losing people now due to injury like this, and this is a team that's in transition anyway, then you shift over to the defensive side of the football. We don't know how the defense still is going to look, especially from a pass rush perspective.
That was seriously hot guy, Louis Riddick. Bad news for the Sea Chickens this week. Wide receiver David Moore is expected to miss the first few weeks of the regular season play due to a shoulder injury. Now, it's no surgery, but it's just another hit in a receiving corps. Doug Baldwin's gone. Rookie DK Metcalf is recovering from knee surgery. Will Seattle's offense turn into another season of Russell Wilson doing his best Fran Tarkington impression?
Well, if the Seahawks get it the way they want it, they're going to have a better running game. They've done a lot of work over the last couple of years to kind of improve their offensive line. You've got Rashad Penny and Chris Carson. They're expected to use both of those guys more as a receiver out of the backfield. I don't think this team was ever led by their wide receiver core. It's if you can get the ball moving and get kind of the second version of what they had when they had Marshawn Lynch, which was a run-first offense, improvisation from Russell Wilson, and then have guys who can make plays. If you remember the second Super Bowl against the Patriots, Chris Matthews was a guy that was lighting up the Patriots defense. Those were the only three catches he ever had as a Seahawk.
So they're not screwed?
No.
Oh. All right, time for my favorite story of the week. This one comes from Florida.
What?
Officials say a Florida woman who pulled a small alligator from her yoga pants during a traffic stop and illegally possessed numerous other wild animals has been sentenced to probation after pleading guilty to four charges.
What were the four charges?
Florida prosecutors say a deputy stopped the pickup truck in May after it ran a stop sign. Driver, 22-year-old Michael Clemens, told the deputy... Wait a second. Michael Clemens.
What is going on here?
Michael Clemens told the deputy he and his 25-year-old passenger, Ariel Machan LaQuiera, were collecting frogs and snakes under an overpass. He gave the deputy permission to search bags in the truck. They found 41 three-striped turtles in a...
Jeez.
Are you ready for this?
Yeah.
They found 41 three-striped turtles in a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles backpack.
Awesome.
You could not find...
Did they have a vial of ooze?
You could not find a more predictable thing in a more predictable thing than that.
Yeah, well, I saw a story from Florida this week of an alligator eating a python. I mean, it's just the wild, wild southeast down there. I mean, what goes on in Florida is so peculiar. I wonder if other countries have like this region where they go, oh, that's what, you know,
Germany.
Germany just as a whole country?
No, seriously. There used to be, if anybody out there was, used to be a fan of Loveline with Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew, they used to play this game all the time.
In the Germans.
Well, no, they used to play this game all the time called Florida or Germany.
Oh.
Where they'd give you a story and then you had to guess if it was from Florida or Germany because Germany has a lot of weird things that happen.
Yeah.
It's very strange. Now, my question here is, was that a trained snake? Because if I, or I'm sorry, a trained alligator. Because if I put an alligator in my pants, I'm losing a member. It's gone.
Okay, what?
Like, yeah. It's gone. He's biting it off. In fact, he's biting all of it.
Yeah. Sure, like, don't put a gator in your pants.
That gator had to be trained, right?
Or just small, if it fits in your pants.
Okay, but even a small gator is going to get at my stuff.
I would think that it would probably try to get at your stuff, but I'm just picturing like a, you know, a tiny little docile, like it's an infant. It doesn't know to kill.
Oh, it knows. It would see it and know.
Yeah, well. All right.
How much money would you have to?
Who makes the first move if the gator's in your pants?
If the gator's in my pants?
Yeah, you. I make the first move. That's what I thought. That's how you're getting
I have to be dominant. Now, am I going to win? No.
That's fair. You're fighting a wild animal. I have no idea what we're talking about right now.
How much money would it take for you to put a gator the size of two coffee cups in your pants for 1 minute? Stopwatch.
Yeah, no, I don't know.
$1 million cash?
Yeah, I think I'd probably do $1 million.
Are you serious? You would do that for $1 million cash?
$1 million cash?
1 minute? You literally can't take it out. Like, they're going to belt your waist and they're going to duct tape your pants.
$1 million cash.
Yes, 1 minute.
Yeah. Sure. Bring it on, gator. Stopwatch. Hey, listen, it's a tense 1 minute.
Tense is...
What's the worst thing that happens?
Well, that he bites off everything.
Yeah. Okay. How hungry is this
gator?
But
you know what? I got $1 million.
Get it rebuilt. How about you? $1 million. $1 million right now. I got a tiny gator.
Not enough.
No?
No, and it's not a tiny gator. I said it as a gator.
Two coffee cups.
Think of two coffee cups stacked on each other. That's how big that gator is.
Yeah, that's not a very big gator.
That's a large gator.
How big's the mouth hole on that gator?
I'm going to leave that up to you.
Well, listen, I'm just trying to figure out the math. If the gator's only two coffee cups, I don't know if it can fit it in its mouth.
The gator's mouth can open as wide as the mug of the coffee.
Kind of. Yeah, I'm feeling pretty safe about that. Not a lot of room for the gator to operate in there.
Dude, $1 million is not enough for you to lose that.
But I don't think you are. Think of the operating room, especially you, skinny jeans guy.
Okay.
How's that gator going to negotiate his way around there? Do I get to put it in there?
Yes.
Then I'm facing the mouth the other way. And I'm putting it in the back.
I think the gator will find its way there.
That's fine. Starting him in the backyard, letting him work around to the front yard. He's got a minute to do it. He ain't making it. Come on. It's $1 million.
You're going to gold bond before it too? He doesn't have room to slide around.
No shower. We're just going here. Enjoy the waft. Young gator.
Hopefully the smell will detract him.
Ducks, Tigers. Next weekend, we will discuss why Will is so mad at all the hype around this football game. We do that next to kick off hour two. Center and Saint on Portland Sports Leader 1080 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.